1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior.
I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
And our Redeemer suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light. Forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe.
Comes again. believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that He will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Good morning, Woodstock Christian Church. It's so good to see you all this morning. If you will, bow your heads in prayer with me. God, thank you that we could all be here today. Thank you for letting that happen so we could all come together today and praise your name. Thank you for every opportunity you give us to make a joyful noise and just be here in worship of you. So let us do that for you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
One. One. Two. Vamp. Two. Three. Four. Verse one.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met Him.
Verse two.
I was grieving, but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my turn till I met you.
Chorus.
You called my name, and I ran out of that grave. When I met you, good shelter. I was an orphan, and you called me a citizen of heaven. And I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. Cause when you call my name,
seated. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was brought with precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he one? Is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. Oh, what a Hallelujah.
So today is February the 12th. So what does that make Tuesday? Just a friendly reminder to all you guys out here, just in case we don't want anybody in trouble. With Valentine's Day creeping around the corner, let's talk about love and our desire to feel connected with someone. This coming Tuesday, I start leading a Bible study class called Find Your People. And the reason why I started leading this study was because one of the main things that Kirby and I hear about in counseling and just talking to people is they don't feel connected to people. We long for that in the age of social media and telephone and TVs. We still feel unconnected. We love to use the word love. Love is my maiden name. So you'll see me in shirts with the word love all the time. We all want to be loved. We have a natural desire to feel love. We crave it. We spend our time and energy trying to find it. We chase it. I believe that much of our stress is the result of our quest to be loved and to love. The problem comes when we look for love in all the wrong places. You know that song, looking for love in all the wrong places. We look for it in relationships. When our relations, well, we jump right into another one. Sometimes we even look for it when we're married. We search for love in the arms of others, in a bottle, in movies, in pornography. We look for it in our careers, excelling, being the best in our career. We look for it in friendship and even the eyes of our children. There's only one place where we're ever going to find true love. It's a personal relationship with God through His Son, Jesus. Nothing on earth will ever complete us. No man or no woman will ever complete you. When we know God, we will know love. When we experience His unconditional love, we are free to love and to be loved by others. God's perfect love settles for nothing less than an intimate and loving relationship with you. Even when we discover the love of God, we still don't quit searching for that love feeling. We still crave the love of others, even though we're still in that relationship with God. We have to deal with these stressful situations where we feel unloved, even when we know Christ, by taking that to God. Bury your head in the chest of the Lord. Imagine that His arms are around you, because they are. His power and His strength surround us and sustain us, even when we don't feel it. We find love when we spend time with God. Let us pray at this time of communion. God, thank You for today. Thank You for loving us so much that You died for our sins. At Valentine's Day, God, let us remember that your love is what matters. It's not the love of others. We ask that you reveal to us the areas that we need the most help with, and that you open our eyes to your amazing love. In Jesus' name. Before I move on to offering, I just want to say, when you stand up here, and even sometimes when you're back there, you can hear the bags. We open the bags, just the sound of the bags when we're getting our communion out. And I want you to think about this just a second. Isn't that wonderful sound? You may say, well, that kind of annoys me to hear that. But just think about it. When you hear that sound, you are in unity with all of your brothers and sisters beside of you. That sound is like music. You're all worshiping together. I was just thinking about it, how awesome that sound is. So we have several ways to give our offering. We have foyer boxes out in the foyer. You can text to give. It's on the screen. You can do it online, or you can also do it by mail. So God, let's just pray over the offering, please. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that we can trust you. You're an abundant God, and out of your mercy, you have given us so much. We give you this offering today. With it, we worship you and give ourselves to you. Please take it and use it in your kingdom and your glory. Extend it and multiply its riches. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. You know, for Christmas, I got this gift that won't go away. It's called a cold. So I may hack and cough a little through this, and you all forgive me. I got a pocket full. Mine is trying to take care of me. And Leslie's communion meditation was a reminder for me, not for y'all. Valentine's Day. You know. She reminded me about a lot of things when she said those things, but I won't go into that. So we're continuing on with this on what does God expect, and today I want to start by telling you about this lady that was interviewing a prospective butler. And she asked him, said, "Are you trained to serve guests?" And the butler, you know, he said, "Yes, ma'am, I've been trained to serve guests both ways." The woman looked a little puzzled, and she said, "What do you mean, both ways?" Well, he answered, he said, "I've been trained to serve them so they'll come again or so they'll stay away. You just have to tell me which one you want." And guys, the same is true of us at church. You can serve in a way that says come again, or you can serve in a way that says go away. And which way are you serving? And I will tell you, the way you serve is based on your attitude. On your attitude. You know, would you say that you've been trained to serve? You've been trained to serve? I mean, if anybody has worked in the world at all, you've learned how to have service with people. But when it comes to getting a paycheck, we serve people a lot differently so that we can keep our job than we do otherwise. You know, I mean, serving is not something that's natural for most people, is it? A life of service is an art that has to be cultivated. You have to work at it. But what does it really mean to be a servant? What are the thoughts and attitudes that a servant should have? What kinds of behaviors will come from the right attitude? And what kind of reward do you get? I mean, if you're serving in a volunteer position, what's the reward anyway? Well, let's go back to the question I asked a minute ago is, what does it really mean to be a servant? What are your images come into your mind when I say servant? Do you think of the employee-boss relationship? Do you think of it like a servant in a slave kind of thing? You know, if our notion is that we become someone's slave if we serve them, then we become virtually without any will or purpose in our life. Someone who's been overcreated, lacking self-esteem, dirty, weary, a sort of a human mule, then you're never going to jump at the chance to serve. Well, you don't want that. But I've got news for you. Good news. That's not what God meant when he said servant. When he talks about servanthood, he does not mean slavery. He does not mean employee. That's not what is meant for Jesus to be a servant. And what I wanted to remind us today and throughout this sermon series is about God's expectations of us. The number, you know, one reason for these expectations, the reason he has these expectations is so that we are more like Jesus as we meet these expectations. We're to be conformed into his image. So today, God expects us to serve. To serve. Is that you? Are you ready to serve? Do you serve? So I want to start with what Paul wrote in Romans 8, 28 through 29. Where he says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God knew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." Now, maybe you've never thought about it like that, that God's major objective is that each one of us to be conformed into the likeness of his Son. That's his number one goal for you. Now, obviously, there are many things about Jesus that we would want to imitate. His walk with God, his knowledge of Scripture, his prayer life, his purity. We all love to talk about those, but what about his example of service? Have you ever thought, do I ever really imitate Jesus and his service? Because I believe that is one of the most important ways that God wants us to conform to the likeness of Jesus. And everybody loves to say, well, Kirby, they pray you, they pay you to be the servant up here. And I do get a paycheck from the church. But I didn't go into ministry till I was 30 years old. And for years I served every Sunday, Wednesday, whatever they did before I ever went into ministry. I know what it is to be a church member and serve. And I'm going to tell you that the reward was tremendous for me at that time. Now I want you to look how Jesus characterized his own life and purpose. Here's what he said. He said, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give life as a ransom for many." That's pretty simple clarity, isn't it? Jesus came to serve and to give. What is your purpose? You know, if it's true for Jesus, then don't you think that's what God wants for you? You know, after bringing us into his family through faith in his son, God then sets his sights into building us into this image, the image of Jesus. God wants to build us in the same serving and giving attitude that Jesus had. In many ways, there is nothing as refreshing as seeing someone with a servant's heart and a giving spirit, is it? Don't you love those people? We flock around them. And you want me to tell you why we flock around them? Because we like being served. We like it, don't you? You know, Colonel James Irwin was a former astronaut. And he was part of the crew that made a successful moonwalk in 1971. And he spoke about the thrill connected to leaving this planet and seeing it shrink in size. Can you imagine? And I love, he says, while watching the earth rise one day, not the sun rise, the earth rise one day in space, he realized just how privileged he was to be a member of the crew of Apollo 15. And on the way back to Earth, he thought about a way, you know, a lot of people would consider him a superstar. He was about to become an international celebrity when they landed on Earth. But his relationship with God would not allow it to go to his head. And listen to the words that he expressed after he came back to Earth. He said, as returning to Earth, I realized I was a servant, not a celebrity. So I am here as God's servant on planet Earth to share what I have experienced that others might know the glory of God. Even though he had just walked on the moon, he said, God is what really matters. You know, the basic motto that all us Christ followers should have is, I'm not a servant. I am a servant, not a celebrity. Like Jesus, I'm here to serve, not be served. Do you live that way? No, here where we're going to go. We're going to go out to eat, and you're going to have a server. And you're going to base your whole experience on the service of that server. You're going to base it all on that. And if that server is rude, looks at you mean, waits too long to come back and check your drinks, then when you leave that restaurant, you're going to get your phone out, you're going to leave a bad review, and you probably won't go back, no matter how good the food is. But you can go in, and if the service is exceptional, and they feel like they really care about you, even if the food is bad, you might go back. Do you have a servant's heart? Do you live a life where you're here to serve and not be served? I mean, it's important to think about. How do you treat people? If you're serving at Woodstock Christian Church and you're serving and complaining at the same time, there's something wrong. Something wrong. What you're doing if you're serving and complaining at the same time is you're spreading spiritual poison out to everybody out there. You're poisoning them spiritually. There should be joy in your service. I don't want to be the guy that drags a bunch of people down spiritually, do you? Because it's so easy to lose sight of our servanthood when we go about our daily life in our self-absorbed world, isn't it? If you're like me, when you sometimes think, I wish I could go back in time and sit at the feet of Jesus. You ever said that? How great it must have been to sit as one of the 12 and soak up the truths that Jesus taught. I mean, I've been there. If I'd have been there in the 12, it would have been easier for me to have the attitude of Jesus, right? You ever think that way? That it would be easier because you were there? Well, you're wrong. The disciples who were physically there with Jesus were wrong a lot. There was lots of times they failed to get it right. So let's look into an incident recorded in Matthew 20. Jesus' popularity was on the rise, and the knowledge of his kingdom was spreading, and people were anxious to get on the bandwagon, so to speak. They were ready, but they wanted to position themselves in this growing movement. I've seen this in churches when they start to grow. Suddenly people start jockeying for leadership because they see it growing. Well, here's what the Bible says. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down asked a favor of him. What is it you want? He asked. He knew what she wanted. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. Now, don't be too tough on this Jewish mother. Picture her standing there proudly with her sons by her side. And like any good mother, she watched for a break in life that would lead to a nice promotion for her kids. Her request was tempered by the proper perspective. She didn't ask that they get on the center throne, just that they're number one and number two and three. Jesus, then this one, and then this one. And just in case you're wondering how the other 10 apostles felt about this, verse 24 says they became angry. They were angry that they hadn't been the first to make some request. I don't think they were mad because she asked. They're mad they forgot to ask first. And they're not going to get these spots because, you know, they asked first, but they're going to fight for it. You and I would have likely acted the same way, right? You know, Jesus' initial reply was, you know, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? Do you know what this is going to cost you? And they foolishly, these guys said, yeah, we can, no problem, piece of cake. That was their response. Yeah, we can do that. Now, you got to keep in mind that three verses that preceded their mother's request, Jesus said he was going to Jerusalem, betrayed, condemned, mocked, flogged, and crucified. But they didn't hear that. They were too busy thinking of how they could move up the ladder. You know, this mother and her sons didn't really understand, did they? In spite that Jesus had said that she and her sons were imagining a kingdom with emperors and jeweled crowns and palaces protected by soldiers with subjects and slaves, you know, serving those at the top of the pyramid, and they wanted to be on top. And the Bible tells us that Jesus pulled all the disciples aside and attempted to straighten out their thinking. And I believe sometimes somebody needs to pull us aside and straighten us out, don't you? And here's what he said. He said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Do you see how Jesus spelled out a sharp contrast between his philosophy and the philosophy of the world? Do you see the difference? So let me ask you a question. How many of you are dragging in the philosophy of the world into the church with you? Let me give you an answer. All of you. All of you. Me too. I do it too. So when I'm preaching this sermon, I'm stepping all over my own toes. key phrase here is, though, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Your servant. These have become forgotten words and a forbidden concept in our world. Sadly, even much of Christianity, these are forgotten words and a forbidden concept. In a lot of megachurches, there are celebrity pastors and high-powered executives and superstar singers, and there's nothing wrong with that unless they lose sight of servanthood. But even the smallest of churches, the notion of serving rather than being served gets lost. Frank Branson used to always tell me, he said, Kirby, you know, when I was first starting out, you go into a small church, you need to remember they're small for a reason. Because they choose to be by their attitude. And that's true. You can choose to be like the butler and serve both ways. You can say you're serving. I'm serving, but I'm driving them away. I'll say, you should love Jesus, just don't do it here. You got to love Jesus the way I love Jesus, which means I don't like you. But I really love you, but I really don't like you, so you don't come here. Go somewhere else. Well, we run that danger in churches. And we spread spiritual poison through that. A man named Diotrephes was openly rebuked by the Apostle John in 3 John 1, 9 through 10. And what was it that Diotrephes was doing so wrong that he was called out by the Apostle John? Now, he wasn't a real strong-tongued person, was he? Now, was he? He was a real soft-spoken guy. But here's what he wrote. He says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I'll call attention to what he's doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. And not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. So this guy considered himself the boss. He was large and in charge. And the mentality and the behavior of Diotrephes has no place among followers of Christ. Perhaps the best model we have next to Jesus himself is the Apostle Paul. Paul was a leader in the Jewish hierarchy. He was a Pharisee. He had studied under the greatest of Jewish teachers. He was on top of the chain. He was it. But after an encounter with the risen Christ, he became a servant of Jesus. You see, you can't encounter Jesus and stay the same. If you didn't change when you encountered Jesus, you need to come meet him again. Because you didn't take the first time. You see, Paul began every piece of correspondence with the words, Paul, a servant of God, or Paul, a bondslave of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? A man who would have been expected privileged treatment, could have demanded a high and mighty role of authority over others, referred to himself as a servant of God. Jesus himself is the only one who deserves a place of preeminence. He is the only one who deserves to be served. In Colossians, Paul says, and he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Not you, not me, but Jesus. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And And then in Philippians 2, Paul challenges to have the attitude of Jesus himself. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Does that describe you? Who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And then this great big word shows up, therefore. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That every name, listen, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know why he got that? Because he was a servant. Isn't it amazing? For all eternity, God the Son has been in heaven. He had spent eternity up there, sitting beside his Father in heaven, where there was no pain and no suffering, no bad attitudes except for the devil, and they threw him out. Now, I want you to think about that. He's in heaven, and he says, you know what? I love those people. Just send me down there. I'll become like them and put on flesh that hurts. Any of you hurt this morning when you got up? Yeah. He has to go through that now. You know, think about it. He left the places where there's no pain and no suffering to come down here as human. And not only did he have to suffer through the same pains, he had to suffer through crucifixion. But after that, he returned to his rightful place beside the Father, and he is worthy to be served as Lord. That's who Jesus was before he came to earth and who Jesus is right now in heaven. But even though that's who Jesus was and who Jesus is, notice again how he thought and acted while he was here on earth. Matthew 28 says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And we got to hold on to our own little selfish pity parties and our own little opinions and say, oh, it's got to be my way in everything in life. Yet Jesus had it not his way. He served you to the point of death. He came to serve and to give. One of the clearest pictures Jesus painted of us of what it means to be a servant is found in John 13. And this is a picture that we'll likely come back to again and again during this series because it's such a great example. The Apostle John has set the stage for this event, saying that it was just before the Passover feast. And Jesus wanted to show his disciples the full extent of his love. So all the disciples arrived in the upper room and the preparations and the meal had been made. And you know, it's like Thanksgiving when all the food's done. You got that anticipation going on. So they're ready to go in, but they noticed there wasn't a servant there to wash their dirty feet. And when they sat down at the table, they were sitting in the floor with their feet at each other's heads. It would be like us going out working in the garden all day and then coming in for Thanksgiving dinner and sticking our hand in the plate without washing it. You know, and some of you probably done that. But here it is, and so there was no servant there. So dirty feet and all, they recline at the table and begin to enjoy the meal. But halfway through the meal, Jesus gets up from the meal. And he took his outer clothing off, and he wrapped a towel around his waist, and he began to pour water in a basin and wash his feet and dry them with the towel. Now, the disciples were uncomfortable with Jesus' actions. And Peter protested. He said, no, you can't wash my feet. I got to wash yours. And Jesus said, well, unless I wash you, you've got no part of me. And Peter changed his tune and said, well, just wash the rest of me too. Well, the Bible says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put his clothes and returned to his place. And do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I tell you the truth, that no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. God wants us to be the example of Jesus. Now, he's not telling you to go out and wash everybody's feet, because some of y'all got stinky feet. Jesus came to serve and to give, and Jesus was willing to serve by washing feet, but what are you willing to lower yourself to swallow your pride and do for Jesus? Look at this quote from Kevin Harney from his book, Seismic Shifts. He says, picture a church in which everyone wants to be served. Each person believes the church exists to meet their needs and to make them happy and to cater to their whims and taste. Imagine a congregation which everyone has a take care of me attitude and is quick to complain whenever things are not just the way they feel they should be. He goes on and says, sadly, some people don't have to use their imagination to picture that church. I got a video I want to show you just to kind of illustrate this. Let's watch this.
Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guys, right? Come here.
Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all about you. Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guys.
Now imagine a church where every single person...
Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now, and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard.
They are
Me Church,
about
where it's all about you.
What can God do with such a church? And I believe we're in the process of becoming more and more that kind of church at Woodstock Christian Church. A church where people are serving like Jesus served.
Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guys.
Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now, and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all about you.
So whether you serve like Jesus or
imagine
or
a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling like the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guys, right?
Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now, and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all about you.
And I know, Lord, we can never... in the most excellent way that you...
Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guys, right?
Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now, and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all about you. Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guys, right?
Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now, and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all about you. Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guys.
Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me.